He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday morning. It is the September 3rd edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we're going to see a fairly sizable sell-off in the NASDAQ today. Right now, NASDAQ futures are down about 1.2, 1.3% after hitting a intraday all-time high yesterday. In fact, the NASDAQ did burst through 12,000. For a short period of time, it hit 12,050, and then it backed off from that level during the end of the close, and today we are down about 1.2, 1.3% on the NASDAQ, especially on some of that high-flying stuff. You're going to see a continued little profit-taking round here today in the Apples, the Teslas, the Zoom videos of the world. The Dow futures, on the other hand, are down just a scant 27 points. The Dow had a much better day than the NASDAQ yesterday on hopes for a stimulus package. S&P futures down 17, down a half a percent right now. They hit an all-time high yesterday. The S&P 500 did, that is. Russell 2000 futures down about 0.2% here this morning. Crude oil has been backing off. In fact, it's threatening to go back into the high 30s. It's down 82 cents per barrel this morning, $40.69. So pretty good correction going on in the oil market. A little correction in gold continues. It's down $7 per ounce today to $19.37. Silver's down 17 cents. To 27.23, and you got a little rally in the bond market, 0.65. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I did get out in the morning yesterday, in the wee hours of the morning for about 4 hours. Hired one of the top guides here in the Charleston area. Once again, he delivered. If you ever visit, I'm telling you, the next 10 weeks here in this neck of the woods is going to be just unbelievable fishing. Kevin Blair is the man. He is a guide out of Folly Beach. And you go with him. He is on the water every single day. He talks to other guides in the area. He knows where those fish are. We did not go very far from the docks where he is docked and got into some big redfish. Yours truly landed an 8-pound redfish and a 10-pound redfish, which we release. And my son-in-law caught about a 7-pound redfish, along with several other trout, ladyfish, and smaller redfish. Nonstop action for 4 hours. Look, even I practice what I preach. I cannot be on the waters every day fishing for redfish. I'm fishing for NASDAQ stocks, four-letter symbols and three-letter symbols, sometimes five-letter symbols. And I'm a weekend warrior. I'm a pretty good fisherman, but I just don't have the time to really know the patterns and where they're at, because it changes every single day depending on the tide, the currents, the color of the water temperature, the bait situation. It all plays into it. I'd like to hire a professional that's on the water every single day, and it certainly was worth it yesterday. I had my son-in-law visiting from Oklahoma, where he is in the Army there. And we had a great time yesterday morning for 4 hours. Then I came back and was back in the saddle by 11 a.m. or so, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and watched the market. I missed the early morning rally, which fizzled. The Dow didn't fizzle. The Dow ended up over 450 points yesterday on stimulus talk. The S&P 500 hit an all-time record above 3,500. And the NASDAQ, like I say, intraday hit 12,050. I missed that. You know, you go through a major milestone like that, there may be a little bit of froth built into this NASDAQ here. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. We're also entering into a 60-day period of time here in front of these elections that could be a bit volatile, to say the least. So we'll see. You know, I take it one day at a time, one stock at a time, one sector at a time. And I'm especially going to keep my eye on some of these high-flying NASDAQ stocks right now. Apple sold off pretty heavily yesterday. Pretty good round of profit-taking after the split. It was down 3%. And, of course, the highest flyer of them all, Tesla, was down 8% yesterday. And it looks like they're down in the pre-market here today. Look, valuation matters. Valuation does matter. And eventually you get any kind of worry about the economy, worry about the future of the market, etc. And you're going to see some of those highest valuation stocks. Valuation has nothing to do with the price of a stock. It has to do with the ratios, the PEs, the price to books, the price to sales, the price to cash flow, the PEG ratios, etc. Those are your valuation metrics. And I think you got to start paying attention to some of the extreme metrics that we're seeing in certain areas of the market. Yesterday was a day for the defensive sectors. Big moves by the utilities. My Next Energy, NEE, had a huge day yesterday, as did many other utilities. Not an area of the market that I'm heavily invested in. But I do own one growth utility. The basic material stocks had a very good day. The lithium stocks, I've been watching them. The Albemarles, ALB, and the others, Lithium Americas, some others there that are big lithium producers, as the electronic car, the electrical vehicle race continues. I noticed the communication services. I noticed a breakout by Verizon yesterday. The semiconductors had a very good day yesterday on news out of Intel. And those were the sectors. I'll get into some individual stocks here in a bit. Futures are down today. You know, there was a weak ADP report yesterday. Not a lot of jobs produced. Tomorrow we do get the jobs numbers for August. I don't think it's going to be a very good print, actually, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why you're seeing a down NASDAQ this morning. We did get the initial jobless claims numbers here this morning. They were a little bit better than expected. I thought they were quite a bit better than expected. We're back under a million, 881 million. The consensus was for 881,000. The consensus was for 958,000. So we did beat the consensus. We're back under a million with those initial jobless claims. And we also got pretty good factory orders yesterday numbers. July factory orders were up 6.4% versus a 6% consensus. Yesterday, NASDAQ, again, 12,050 at one point during the day. There may be a little bit of a rarefied air up at that level. The NASDAQ took a big breath of that air and said, you know what, this is pretty thin air that we're at right now. And you saw the NASDAQ not be able to hold that number. Well, it could make more attempts at it, or that, Kate, may have been a temporary top in the NASDAQ yesterday when it went through 12,000 for the first time. The fishing guy I went with yesterday, he's a former financial planner. Turned fishing guide maybe 10 years ago. But he was around during the NASDAQ of 2000. I was around during the NASDAQ of 2000. We were talking about those heady days. He's still a big player in the market. We talked about some of these NASDAQ stocks trading at levels that are quite heady, to say the least. And at some point in time, there's going to be some kind of a valuation correction here in some of these high flyers. Yesterday, at least, you saw a couple of them. The first day of a correction does not a new trend make, but you did see a little chip taken out of Tesla and Apple yesterday, which are two massive leaders in the NASDAQ. So you know what? We'll take it a day at a time. We'll take it a stock at a time. We don't want to certainly give up those gains that we've made since March of this year. This is Bill Gutterson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio. I want to talk about some more individual stocks when we come back. To the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, a few other highlights from my observations yesterday while I was on the waters of the NASDAQ, the S&P 500, the Russell 2000, the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Big breakout in Google yesterday. I'm not sure what was going on there, but that's a massive breakout. You can look at that. Google has basically been a sideways stock all year long and has not been one of the hot performers of the NASDAQ. But, boy, that stock, massive breakout yesterday. Of course, the company formerly known as Google, now known as Alphabet, Intuit made a big move yesterday. I know Intuit signed some kind of agreement with Ameritrade, where you can Ameritrade can access your Intuit information from your books or whatever, or vice versa. They have a cooperative agreement going on, and Intuit made a pretty nice breakout yesterday. NVIDIA, the semiconductor chip stocks, very hot yesterday. NVIDIA hitting a new all-time high, closing in on $600 per share. There was news from Intel yesterday. I'll talk about that a little bit on their new chips. Intel had a pretty good day yesterday. I don't like Intel. I think they're become a laggard. Starbucks has been red hot recently. I'm not sure what lit it. Maybe it's the reopening of America. I don't know. But Starbucks had a nice breakout yesterday. These were the standout charts from yesterday. A few others, Twitter. Twitter had a very nice breakout yesterday. Most of these stocks I do not own. Twitter, look at that breakout yesterday. That means it broke out to new all-time highs for the most part on big volume. Sometimes that can be the beginning of big legs upwards. Broadcom, huge breakout. The last 2 days leading that chip move, ASML, ASM Lithography, also had a very good breakout yesterday. Another chip stock, Marvell, not the comic books, Marvell the chip maker, that nice breakout, beautiful, picture-perfect breakout yesterday. And, of course, the semiconductor sector as a whole, USD is one of the measurements, that's an ETF that tracks. It's two times the semis. Big breakout yesterday for it. Nike had a big breakout yesterday. That stock making a very bold move, part of the move in the Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday. Charter Communications, which is a cable TV internet stock, decent breakout yesterday. Autodesk, CAD/CAM company, very picture-perfect, fresh breakout yesterday on Autodesk. MPWR, which is Monolithic Power, that's a smaller chip stock. Whoa, that's a beautiful breakout yesterday. It's kind of like a redfish swirling on the surface and or a trout jumping out of the water. One of these 22-inch speck trout that we have here in the Wando River jumping out of the water after your fly-lined live bait or your popper, your lure in the morning, your popper. That's what these breakouts look like to me. Viva had an excellent breakout yesterday, V-E-E-V. Amazon hit an all-time high yesterday. Amazon continues to run on all cylinders, that's for sure. And the other one that caught my eye yesterday was Costco. Massive breakout. Wow, in Costco yesterday. So, you know what? I mean, yeah, there may have been a little bit of sell-off in Apple and Tesla yesterday, but there was no sell-off in those stocks that I just mentioned. They were breaking out to new highs. Global markets, pretty quiet overnight. Europe did the best of all. Paris up 1.9%. Frankfurt up 1.4%. China has cooled off just a little bit. Once again, it has had a couple of torrid weeks, however, with the JDs, the Alibabas of the world. Here's the bad news. The CBO budget deficit estimate soars. How many zeros can you add after one or 27 now? Trillion. The Congressional Budget Office projects a federal budget deficit of $3.3 trillion. That's this year. That means that we will spend this year, mostly due to COVID, and let's not forget, I mean, we start the year with a budget that's going to go $1 trillion into the hole because of the entitlements spending, the mandatory spending. But we've added another $2 trillion to that deficit this year with this COVID pandemic. This is the biggest deficit on a percentage basis since World War II. At 16% of GDP, the deficit in 2020 would be the largest since 1945. There you go. There's the cost of COVID so far. Well, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, has notified public health officials in all 50 states and five large cities to prepare for the distribution of a COVID-19 vaccine as soon as late October, probably the week before the election, right? Early November, reports the New York Times. The CDC sent out guidance the same day that President Trump told the nation in his speech, the RNC, that a vaccine may arrive before year end. Well, you know what? There's the big six I'll talk about in a bit here that are leading the race for the vaccine. I think the vaccine is going to be a very controversial subject, to be honest. You've got Mayor de Blasio of New York saying, I'm not going to open the restaurants, that's for dine-in, until we have a vaccine. Okay, that's number one, A. B, what if you refuse to get the vaccine? I think there will be plenty of people that refuse to get the vaccine. Will you have to show proof of vaccine to get into those restaurants? That's the future I foresee, at least in New York City. And how far will that spread across America? Will you have to show proof of vaccine to get into Walmart? I don't know. To get into Brinker International Restaurant, we're going to see. I think there's going to be some kind of a showdown coming when I don't think everybody's just going to voluntarily go down and get their vaccine shot. I don't see that happening. Intel launches Tiger Lake CPUs for laptops. That was the big news. Intel has just been trailing so badly behind AMD and NVIDIA and even some of the others. They finally announced their 11th generation. I think I've got a 10 in my computers. Their 11th generation Tiger Lake CPUs, that gave the stock a little bit of a bump yesterday, and the semiconductor sector. All right, this is Bill Gunderson. We're just barely getting started here today. We'll be right back. Second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio. And we do have a sell-off taking place in the NASDAQ. It's down 200 points right now. That works out to 1.66%, something like that, after the torrid run that it has been on. The Dow, in the meantime, is down just 17 points right now. But you're seeing a little bit of the air come out of the overinflated tires in many cases of the NASDAQ. All right, Costco lands lush target price from Cowan. You know, that was one of the stocks I noticed yesterday, flying higher. This is a glamour stock. This is not a company that's going to trade at, cheap multiples. It's got a P.E. ratio of 40. It's been growing by 12%. It has a very rich PEG ratio, but it's a very popular stock. Cowan lifts price target on Costco to 410 from 370. Well, that's pretty good upside potential with Costco trading at 360 right now. Costco definitely one of those stocks that they command a premium multiple because of their popularity. The Teslas of the world, the Apples of the world, the Costcos of the world. You're not going to see that in Macy's, however, or, Kroger. But the Costcos of the world are going to get those glamour multiples because of who they are and the franchises that they have built and the loyal following that they have. Okay, how is the travel industry? Not good. Sabre Corporation, key volume metrics. They reported that gross air bookings were down 85% in July and August. That's versus the same July and August last year. 85%. And in August, 85 in August, 90% in July. Passengers boarded were down 80% and 75% in July and August. Would I mess around with those airline stocks? Not me. You can mess around with them. And, of course, the hotel stocks, their bookings down 55% in July. Well, at least people are driving to hotels, it would seem. But not like they used to, down 55% in July and down 50% in August. I saw this morning that a marquee hotel, the Hilton, right at Times Square, shut down, closed, probably forever. Sign of the time. Amazon, however, on the other side of the street, had 7,000 more UK jobs. It just seems like wherever Amazon is in the world, they're hiring. As e-commerce booms due to the pandemic. And, of course, you know, that's helped. I've watched FedEx that's been hitting new highs here recently. And, of course, Amazon hit a new all-time high yesterday. Amazon will have a permanent British workforce of more than 40,000 people by the end of 2020. In addition to that, they will create more than 20,000 temporary jobs ahead of the Christmas shopping season. Amazon. I've seen some talk of Amazon maybe splitting soon. Well, that gives it a 1 or 2 day bounce, if that's what you're after. Amazon would have to split like 100 to 1, get it back to $35 a share or so. And then watch it go to 100 again. They haven't talked about splitting, but there are some analysts out there. Amazon may split soon. Big tech responds to European tech taxes by passing on the fees. Well, they never could come to any agreement. The U.S. has warned Europe about taxing these big tech companies. Europe has gone ahead and done it anyways. The new taxes come into force. U.S. tech giants have responded by passing on some of the cost. Apple has announced it will raise charges for developers in the local app store. Google is increasing fees for all ads bought in the UK, and Amazon is upping costs for third-party sellers by 2%. Well, that's the problem with raising taxes. It's passed on, for the most part, to the consumer. Robinhood facing an SEC fine for failing to disclose the sale of client orders to high-speed trading firms. Okay, you wonder how Robinhood does make money. They don't charge anything to buy or sell. Well, in their disclosures, they do disclose that they make money from margin trading services, people trading on margin. Of course, they charge margin fees. They make interest earned on customer deposits. That's the cash sitting in the accounts. But they didn't really disclose that they also make money by selling client orders to high-speed trading firms. They are going to be fined for that. How much? I don't know. Robinhood plans on going public at some point in the future. And I think you can attribute Robinhood some of the, should we just call it blame for running some of these valuations up to nosebleed levels? There's been a lot of activity. Robinhood has become the biggest trading by volume firm out there, and it's mostly 99%, I would say, retail investors. In other words, not institutional investors, retail investors, where you usually see the most ridiculous kind of activity taking place. DraftKings expands in New Hampshire with a high-profile new location. DraftKings announces the opening of a new sports book in Manchester, New Hampshire, in partnership with the State Lottery and Southside Tavern. Hey, I've noticed that DraftKings has had a pretty good little... it's been forming a sideways base. But I have a hard time with DraftKings' current valuation of over $30 billion. And other companies coming into their space, like Barstool Sports and others, I think that's going to make it a very, you know, margins will go down. That's the way it works. NIO, that is the big Chinese EV, electrical vehicle car firm. They basically have two major electric vehicle companies, NIO and Boyd. I noticed Boyd had a nice breakout yesterday. NIO deliveries grew 104%. To 3,965 vehicles in August. So where those people that aren't boarding planes, I guess they're buying electric cars to get around. NIO's deliveries grow 104%. The airline traffic declines by 85%. Of course, we're in a very strange world right now. I do keep an eye on NIO, N-I-O, which will soon be selling cars. You may start to see some NIO cars showing up here in America. Albemarle to partner with the Department of Energy on lithium research projects. You know, lithium is becoming more and more important. I remember when the lithium stocks were on fire. There's an ETF, LIT, L-I-T, that is basically the lithium stocks. And there's a lot of companies that do other things, but they're also pretty large, like Albemarle. ALB, that stock's been behaving pretty well recently. A major producer of lithium, the lightest metal on the chemistry charts. That's why it's so popular in the vehicle industry. You wouldn't want lead in there in those Teslas with all those batteries. Fulgent Genetics and New York City and hospitals will provide COVID-19 testing to hundreds of thousands of students across approximately 1,600 locations as they return to school in September and over the next several months. I think you're going to see a spike in COVID as people go back to school, but I also think that the strain of COVID going around these days is much milder than the original strain. That's the nature of a virus. It gets weaker and weaker and weaker as the weakest die. They're not able to pass it on, and those strains that develop from there and mutate continue to get weaker. That's what I'm seeing here in South Carolina. I know my San Diego State opened up for a week, and then they closed down because all of a sudden it started exploding again, and I think you're going to see that as the schools begin to open. But Fulgent gets a big contract, FLGT. We'll be right back with our featured stock of the day. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, where you're seeing a little bit of the air come out of the tires of the NASDAQ today. The Dow, on the other hand, up 58 points. The extreme valuations, without question, right now are in the NASDAQ. You saw the NASDAQ burst through 12,000 yesterday. It briefly tasted the rarefied air at 12,050 feet. This is a little bit too thin up here, and it has pulled back to 11,840. Well, it may mount more attempts at that 12,000 peak of Mount Everest up there. We'll see. But I think at the same time, you've got to be just a little bit in tune with valuations. I'm going to give an example here of two electronic vehicle makers and say, why the big, huge disparity as it relates to valuation between these two companies? It's just extraordinary. Okay. The different valuation measures, and they're in my app, very important, P.E. ratio, price-to-sales ratio, price-to-book ratio, price-to-cash flow ratio, and the forward P.E. ratio. Those are all valuation metrics. The S&P 500 itself is currently trading at 23 times forward earnings when the 10-year average is closer to 16. The NASDAQ does not publish P.E. ratios. It's all I can do is take the 100 NASDAQ stocks and average the P.E. ratio between all 100. But I got to believe it's up near, not as high as it was in 2000, but it's closing in on that 2000 level. Now, I'm just going to use a couple of stocks here. I'm going to feature one stock by comparing it against another one. I'm going to compare Boyd Company, which is a China-based manufacturer of hybrid full-power vehicles, mobile handset components, rechargeable batteries, and, of course, electronic vehicles. Boyd is the second biggest seller of electronic cars in China behind Tesla. Tesla is now a $416 billion market cap company. I would say of all of the popular stocks out there that I follow and watch on a daily basis, this is right up there with the most expensive, ridiculously expensive stock in the entire market, Tesla. $416 billion in market cap, while Ford is at about $30 billion. But I'm going to compare it against a more comparable, which would be Boyd Company. Boyd is $30 billion in market cap. Tesla is $416 billion in market cap. So it has 14 times the market cap of Boyd. Now let's compare the annual sales of these two companies. Tesla has annual sales of about $25 billion. It has a market cap of $416 billion. It's trading at about 16.6 times sales. That's incredible. Boyd, on the other hand, is a $30 billion company. It has $16 billion in sales. So it doesn't have $25 billion in sales like Tesla. It trails Tesla by about $9 billion in annual sales. But the discrepancy in the market caps is humongous. Boyd's market cap is $30 billion. Tesla's market cap is $416 billion. That means you're paying $386 billion in market cap for an additional $9 billion in sales. That's extreme, okay? Boyd broke out to a new all-time high. Is that an all-time high? Yeah, yesterday. Tesla, what's it doing today? Tesla finally had some comeuppance yesterday after their split. Tesla's all the way down to 422 today. Tesla's down 5.5%. Just as a guy who has seen extreme valuations during my career in the market, in certain areas of the market, if you go back to 1999 and 2000, the extreme valuations were in the dot-com segment of the market. There was the bubble. In the year 2008 and 2009, the extreme valuations were in the housing market, where you had people camping out to get a single-family home and flipping it a couple weeks later and walking away with $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in equity. And that game went on for quite some time until it didn't go on anymore, and single-family home pricing collapsed. And a lot of those single-family homes came way back to earth as it relates to valuation. So this is just one example. I could give you numerous examples. I'm going to make Boyd, B-Y-D-D-F, my featured stock of the day just because of the huge disparity between its valuation. Basically kind of does the same thing as Tesla. It's not as sexy. It's not as glamorous. It doesn't have the cult following. It doesn't have a brash CEO of the company. It doesn't have a P.T. Barnum at the helm. So we'll make Boyd our featured stock of the day. All right. Well, you know what? I'm putting on my newsletter face. I am worried right now about valuations on the NASDAQ, the Zoom videos, the Teslas, the CrowdStrikes of the world. I'll be writing all about it in this weekend's newsletter. You can get the newsletter by going to my website at GundersonCapital.com. If you call your wirehouse advisor right now, they're going to say, you know what, you just ride through all of this, you stay the course. We're going to remain passive. We're not going to do a damn thing with your asset allocation. Well, you know what, I don't think this is a good time to be passive. You might want to get your portfolios into the hands of somebody who's a little bit more vigilant and may be a little bit more active in these coming months in the market. You can reach us. Talk to one of my advisors at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade.
Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.